surrender, said Jesus, is still the answer, isn't it? This evening, I'd like for you to think of this as a unique experience. We're going to think of it in a way as a conversation between two people, those of us up here in front and you out there, like being in a medical office. And to set the stage for that, many times we will have a Christian word of prayer, and I would like for you to bow your heads with me, and I would like to say a prayer this evening. Shall we pray? O God, this Sabbath evening we unite our hearts and come to you, the great physician. We all have a terminal illness called sin, and this evening we need a private body temple visit. Our hearts are destitute with disease, and you have told us in the scriptures of a remedy. You are so willing to share this free sample called salvation with all the world's inhabitants. Tonight, dear Father, we need the Holy Spirit to explain the simplicity of your prescription, which we accept by faith, knowing someday we will understand. O Master Physician, vitalize our systems with new healing. May these new energies reflect the nearness of your coming and the joys of Christian living. May the healing water of life flow through our systems and spill over to touch others of our families, our friends, our neighbors, and those we come in contact with. May our countenances be so lightened as to draw faltering mankind to our Heavenly Father. This evening, share with us, through Dr. Neil, the blessing of good Christian living, the pluses of God's knowledge applied, and continue to bless us this convocation weekend. We pray in Jesus' name, thanking you for hearing and for answering our prayer. Amen. Many people wonder about having prayer in a consultation. I think it's nice. My patients like that. And though we don't do it every time, it is appreciated by our patients, and they know that there is something special that's there, and I'd like you to be involved in that with us. Tonight is the first part of two parts. Tonight is part one, and tomorrow morning at 9:30 is part two, entitled, What is Your Health Quotient? Dr. Richard Neal, who is so actively involved not only in California, but all over the country and traveling, it is a real privilege to have him here with us. And even though his classroom activities are many, he likes to work with the patient too in doing a lot of executive fitness and also personal examination. And we're going to go ahead now and begin. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Smith. It's a real privilege to be with you this weekend. I've thoroughly enjoyed myself, and I feel like we've been here about a week already. It seems like time is really going by in a very interesting manner. We're going to be doing several things tonight, and I've got this evening divided up into three sections. I'm going to talk for about 20 minutes. Then I'm going to show you some slides, and then we're going to let you talk for about 20 minutes. So as we're going along, if you have questions in your mind, hang on to them because there'll be a chance for you to write them down for us to respond. And since we'll be showing slides, I'd like to invite the gentlemen who are on the platform to go down to join their wives or families or whatever while we get going here. I trust you have your Bibles, because we're going to be talking a little bit this evening about biblical things. And if you have your Bible with you, I would invite you to turn in it to 3 John. That's one of those little tiny small books just before Revelation. 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. 3 John. The second verse. There's only one chapter, so it's 3 John, the second verse. And John here, in writing to the church general, has the following thing to say. Now, you're probably aware of the fact that God has certain plans for you. He has certain things he wants for you. And this is one of the things that John brings up. He says here, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospered. God has two desires for you. One of them is that you have a healthy soul. The other is that you have a healthy body. It's interesting to note that man was never created to die. There's no reason why you should not. There's really no reason that we can ascertain as to why you should become old. A baby, we know, gains approximately an ounce a day for the first 6 months of his life. After that, it slows down a little bit. That's in most cases. Some folks tend to hang on to that ounce a day for a while. But most babies slow down their growth. And by the time a person reaches 18 or 19, he's just about peaked in terms of physical growth. Why is it that when a person passes 21, they head downhill? We don't know. You were created just like the trees. A tree grows and grows and grows and grows. And some of the huge sequoias in California never seem to die. You were created to live the same way. And God says in his word, 3 John 2, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Now, that wish that God has for you will not come true for everybody. You know, God says a lot of things that he wants to have happen that don't happen. Remember when Christ was being nailed to the cross? He prayed a prayer. His prayer was, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. Yet we know that not everyone who nailed Christ to the cross was forgiven. Why? Because in order for that prayer to be realized, men had to ask for forgiveness. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. So Christ could pray, Father, forgive them, and if someone thumbed their nose at him and said, I don't care for it, I don't want your forgiveness, the prayer for him was vain. Same thing happens here. God says, I want above anything else that you will prosper and be healthy just like your soul is, but I can say to God, God, thanks, but no thanks, I don't want to be healthy. Now, why do you say would every person ever do that? Most people who have common sense would never want to be unhealthy. The reason I say that is because there is a plan to be healthy. People don't fall into good health. People don't fall into anything and do it very well. You've met some folks who claim to have fallen in love. Watch them after about 5 years. They fall right back out. Same thing is true of health. We don't fall into good health. It's not an accident. It's something that is planned. When I put a building up, I put a foundation down, and I build a certain kind of structure on it. Same thing is true of health. Now, tomorrow, we're going to elaborate a bit more on the kinds of things that go into building a real good health plan. But tonight, I want to talk about something very particular. I want to talk about your body temple in a very pointed way. Now, I don't want anyone to become upset. If you happen to disagree with what I'm saying, don't raise your hand here. Don't shout out loud. Wait for me outside the door when it's dark and hit me as I'm going through the door. But don't disrupt the service. We're going to be talking about a lot of things tonight, and some of them you might not agree with. I can usually tell when folks are agreeing with me. I want to talk about God's plan for your life and why we may not be as healthy as God wants us to be. In order for us to be healthy, we must follow the components of health that God has set down. And one of the first things that God did when he created man was to tell man exactly how to take care of his body. Did you know that? There are laws in the body with regard to how to take care of the body. Not make sense. You go downtown to buy a brand new car. Just bought a new car a few months ago. In the glove compartment, there's a little owner's manual. And that owner's manual tells me how full to fill the tires. Tells me what kind of oil to put in it. What kind of gasoline to use. And how to maintain it. Now, I would be foolish if I got in my brand new car and I patted the upholstery and I filled my lungs with that gorgeous new car smell. There's nothing that smells like a new car. If I did all of those things and then drove into the filling station and said to the guy, I've noticed that my gas tank is not registering very well, put in a quart of water. The guy would say, you're crazy. And if I say to him, look, buddy, it's my car and I put it in what I want, that wouldn't help the carburetor run any better. When it needs clean, I put in. When the oil gets low, it would do me no good to go to the guy and say, I want to put it in a quart of sand. And he'd say, does your new car specification call for that? And I would say, what are you talking about? It's my car. I put in this car what I want to put in. Put the sand in there. He'd put it in. But who would not be able to drive? Me. When you got your brand new body, God had an owner's manual with all the specifications for it. And I want you to turn with me in your Bible to the book of Genesis, the first chapter. Genesis 1. We're going to find out what God's specification for your body is. Genesis, the first chapter, verse 28. This is God, just after he had created Adam and Eve, standing brand new and fresh on Friday evening in front of their creator, and God talked to them. He said to them in Genesis 1, 28, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. Period. You notice something's missing there? You notice something's missing there, haven't you? Let's do that again, because maybe God left something out.
God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit, yielding seed. That's all it says.
Now, there are certain things you need to keep your body going. One of them is carbohydrates. I've talked about fruits, grains, and nuts so far. Tell me, are there any carbohydrates in fruits, grains, and nuts? Some of you sound a little bit skeptical. What do you think?
Take carbohydrates. Carbohydrates.
Proteins. Is there any protein in fruits, grains, and nuts? Fats. Are there any fats in fruits, grains, and nuts?
Yes.
In nuts especially. Little bit of fat, but a lot of fats in nuts. A little bit of fat in other things. Minerals. Are there any minerals in fruits, grains, and nuts? Vitamins. Are there any vitamins in fruits, grains, and nuts? Now, we know the human body needs proteins, fats, carbohydrates, vitamins, minerals, and water in order to be sustained. Is there anything else the body needs? Anybody know of any other nutrient besides those six I've mentioned? Air. Okay, the air's all right, and it can't help that. By the way, Elder Henderson, if you hear how that air, this air does feel kind of thin out here. You folks don't have any body to the air. That's what the problem is. Those six things, do you need anything more than that? Has somebody discovered a wonder nutrient that we aren't aware of? Carbohydrates, fruits, carbohydrates, proteins, fats, minerals, vitamins, water, air. Amino acids, that's in the proteins. Well, as far as I can see, when the good Lord gave us fruits, grains, and nuts, he covered everything we need. But do you know something? I'll tell you this in all candor and in all confidence. There are some folks that don't believe the Lord. They say in so many words, God, you don't understand. I'm a hard-working man. I expend lots of energy. I sweat lots, and I lose my muscles. And you can't live on that stuff. That's cow food. That's solid. You can't live on that. You got to have something with substance. Take me down to see the Colonel. Or stop by McDonald's every once in a while. If I'm going to do an 8 hours worth of work, I've got to have me a sirloin that's no less than 16 ounces. Now, there are actually people that believe that. But you know something? They're missing the boat. And I'm going to tell you why, before we're done, as to why they're missing the boat. God, nowhere in his word, has ever said, we need meat. Period.
Thanks for that one amen.
Don't need it. Somebody thinking that he's gone too far, and he's been going to my refrigerator. Start cleaning it out for me. You bet your booties I have. Because when you come to the doctor and you're complaining about your headache and your stomach ache and your breath smells bad and you got too much fat on you, you're going to pay me to take it off. So I might as well keep you from having the problem. Why didn't God put meat in there? Well, there's several reasons why he didn't do it. God did not permit meat eating until after the... I want to show you something. 3 John 2 says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest and be in...
Let's go to Genesis, the 5th chapter.
Genesis 5.
This is the generations, or this is the story of the generations who existed before the flood. Verse 3. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. And the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters, and all the days that Adam lived were 930 years. Can you imagine living to be 930? Some of us can barely make it past 80 and 10. Adam lived to be 930. And as you go down generation after generation, go down to verse 15. And Mahalaleel lived 65 years and begat Jared. And Mahalaleel lived after he begat Jared 830 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Mahalaleel were 895 years, and he died. All of those men before the flood lived an average of 900 years on fruits, grains, nuts, and vegetables. And by the way, let me tell you this. People did not start eating potatoes until after sin. Did you know that? That's right. Nothing was killed in the Garden of Eden. You pluck the fruit off, and a brand new fruit grew in its place. You took the ear of wheat off, and a brand new ear sprouted. You didn't dig up potatoes because nothing was killed. After man sinned, God came to Adam and said, you will now eat the herb of the field. And Adam had to go down and dig up those potatoes and dig up those carrots in order to live. And if you're interested later on, I'll tell you why I think that was. The reason for that. God does everything with a reason, you know. But all these nine generations lived to be 900 years. Strong, stalwart men, having kids at 60 years of age. What a shame. Well, if somebody had a child now at 60, you'd be ready to put him in Ripley's, believe it or not. But this was the figure that man had, and he kept it for 900 years per life. After the flood, man was allowed to eat Burger King. And something happened to him. Look in Genesis, the 11th chapter. Genesis 11. We're going to take the next nine generations after the flood. Starting with verse 10, these are the generations of Shem. Shem was 100 years old and begat Arphaxad 2 years after the flood. And Shem lived after he begat Arphaxad 500 years and begat sons and daughters. And Arphaxad lived 530 years and begat Shelah. And Arphaxad lived after he begat Shelah 403 years. Verse 15, and Shelah lived after he begat Eber 403 years. Verse 17, and Eber lived after he begat Peleg 430 years. Verse 19, and Peleg lived after he begat Reu 209 years. Verse 21, and Reu lived after he begat Serug 207 years. Verse 23, and Serug lived after he begat Nahor 200 years. Verse 25, and Nahor lived after he begat Terah 119 years. Uh-oh. Something's happening.
Men aren't living as long, are they? Can you tell me why?
Meat eating! Say it out loud, but that's what it's sorry is, meat eating! God permitted meat and flesh to shorten man's lifespan because man was so bad. Now, let me tell you something. There's a text I want you never to forget. Found in the book of 1 Corinthians. Turn to it, please. 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. And I'm going to tell you here why this decrease in man's lifespan happened. 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, verse 16. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in who? You. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God. What does it mean to defile? It means to put something in a place which was not intended for it. Anytime you take something that was not intended to put here and you put it here, you have defiled it. Now, the Bible says the Spirit of God dwells in you. Where does God's Spirit live? In you. Where does it live in you? In the liver. You the rest of the Holy Spirit in your liver? Heart? Lungs? Mind. How does God contact you? Through your... When God has a message for you, it comes through your. When God wants to communicate with you, it comes through your. When God wants to change you, he changes you through your. Because the mind controls everything. If I want my hand to stop doing something, my mind must say, hand, stop doing it. And if you have trouble taking things that don't belong to you, it's because your mind is not controlling your hand properly, or there's something wrong with your mind. If you have difficulty saying things that should not come out, like,
I didn't like her from the first moment I saw her. Oops.
No such thing as slips in Christianity. Everything you say you intended to say. You may not have wanted to say it right then. But if these lips are moving in conjunction with the tongue and the teeth and the diaphragm and the other muscles of respiration and they're all working together and I didn't like her comes out, then you meant to say that. Something wrong with your mind. In order for God to change that mind, he must have clear access to it. Now, as the blood goes coursing through the mind and the brain, it carries with it nutrients, oxygen, and food. And part of the job that the body has is getting the oxygen and food from the inside of the blood vessel to the cells outside that are doing the thinking. You following me? Are you guys following me out there? Okay, say something. God has a brand new baby, and that baby is gurgling and saying all kinds of things. And the baby's mind is essentially blank, you know. The baby thinks really of nothing except himself. Which tells you they got problems already, isn't that true? Always of themselves. Give a baby something, does he ever give it back? No, you teach him to, but he... So God begins working on that baby's mind. He begins learning things, but what happens is the blood going into his brain must carry oxygen, and it must carry nutrients so the brain will function. But as that baby begins chewing at the age of 5 on McDonald's, and by the time he gets to be 25, he's chewing his own sirloins, and he's having Kentucky Fried Chicken, and anything else that walks, swims, or moves, or can't get away before he can kill it, as he begins eating on these things, something happens to his bloodstream. Instead of saying nice and pure and clean, we find fat floating in it. And the fat deposits inside the brain, developing what we call cerebral arteriosclerosis. He may know nothing about it until he's age 75, and his children bring him in to see me. We have what we call a senior health profile at Loma Linda. And the kids come in and say, Doctor, you'll take a look at my father because he can't think straight anymore. He's dizzy all the time. He can't remember anything. It's called senility, hardening of the arteries, but it's been going on for a long time. And as those arteries thicken up and the blood and the oxygen and the food can't quite get through that thick layer of fat, God says, hey, Neil. And I say, sounded to me like I heard something there. What was that? He says, I want you to soften your heart. And I say, boy, can't tell what's going on. I'm kind of confused. Something like somebody's trying to tell me something. He says, repent of your sins. And I say, oh, I know I kicked the dog the other day, but I don't feel too bad about it. The Lord says, repent. And I say, what? He says, repent. Boy, it sounds like somebody trying to get through to me. I sit down and read my Sabbath school lesson. I say, boy, I read this thing through all week long. Doesn't make a bit of sense. I go to church and listen to the preacher. And halfway through the sermon, I'm asleep. And the half I hear, I tell my wife, oh, he sure is losing his touch. I couldn't understand anything he thought about. What was he talking about anyhow? Lord says, Neil, you are doing a job on the only organ I have for getting through to you. I want you to be in good health so I can change you, so I can make you a model for the world. I want people to look at that Christian and say, man, he's sharp, he's tall, he's clean, he's healthy, he's got fresh breath, his skin glows, his eye is sharp, his mind is sharp. He must be doing something differently than I'm doing. And I say, yes, I am. I'm following God's original plan. You should follow it too. It'll make you a better person. But Christians can't do that because we're not following God's plan. There are four things that would decide what you eat, friends. One is happenstance. That's the person who doesn't care. I don't care. Whatever the wife puts on the plate goes down the track. He could care less what it is. There are some folk who eat only from taste. They won't eat if it doesn't taste good, but if it tastes good, they'll eat it. The third kind of person eats what he wants to eat. He doesn't eat by happenstance. He doesn't eat by taste. He eats what I want. No one's going to tell me what I can't eat. You know folks like that, don't you? I don't care what the Bible says. That's a dangerous state to be in. I don't care what God says. I know what I want. That man's in bad shape. The fourth person says, Lord, what wilt thou have me do? If you love me so much that you've created me, if you've given me this body, it is my highest joy
to keep it the way it should be.
I enjoy following you. I enjoy loving you. I enjoy reading about you. And the more I read, the clearer, the sharper does your love become in my life. The more I'm impelled and compelled to read and follow you. I love it! Give me more!
That's the kind of Christian I want to be.
I want to tell you folks something, especially those who are new Adventists. We as Adventists hold to this tradition from the Bible, and it shows results.
I've got a friend of mine who's an ad man in New York City. He's thinking about putting an ad together that says, join the right church and live longer. And it is true.
I want to show you something, okay? We're going to go to our slides now. We can have the lights on that side.
I'm going to sit down while I'm talking to you. Remember seeing this slide before. Not the slide, I'm talking concept. There is a graphic representation of the lifespan of man before the flood for 10 generations and after the flood. You see how things drop off very quickly and sharply? That's what happens when men's hearts and men's brains become clogged with arteriosclerosis. We as Seventh-day have adopted a particular kind of lifestyle for a particular kind of reason. For example, we don't smoke and drink. We don't have time to go in at night, but there's a very good reason for that. We follow a lacto-ovo vegetarian diet, and some of us a very strict vegetarian diet. We eat no pork products. We avoid caffeine, hot condiments and spices, highly refined foods. We eat many fruits and vegetables, whole grains and nuts. We emphasize a faith and family life. We have a deep commitment, conservative social mores, and we hope we have regular exercise. Now, tomorrow morning, we'll talk more about that one right there. But I want you to see what has happened to Seventh-day Adventists compared to people in the general population as time has gone on. We can prove that when you follow God's plan, it works. For example, when you look at Seventh-day Adventists and diseases related to smoking, this is lung cancer, we have one-fifth what the world has in lung cancer. Mouth, throat, and laryngeal cancer, 5%. Bladder cancer, 28%. Bronchitis, 32%. Let me tell you something. These statistics on Adventists were taken from among people who joined the Adventist Church. If you took lifetime Adventists, it'd probably be a whole lot more difference. It pays to follow God's way. Look at the diseases related to drinking. Esophageal cancer, one-third. Cirrhosis, one-fifth or less. Single vehicle trash cancers. Did you know that when you become a Seventh-day Adventist, you drive better? There it is. Half as many vehicle accidents. Look at other kinds of cancer. Breast cancer, 72% compared to 100% for the average Californian. Digestive tract cancer, leukemia, uterus cancer, one half. All other cancers, 66%. There are other causes of death, heart disease, half. We'll talk more about this tomorrow too. Stroke, half. Diabetes, half. Peptic ulcer, less than half. Suicide, one third. It does something to your mind when you join the Adventist Church and follow its principles, because they're established upon principles that God has given to us. Lung cancer, one-fifth. All cancers, half. Coronary heart disease, half. Diabetes, half. And all causes of death, one-half. Now, I want to show you something else that to me is rather startling. There are 24% of Adventists who have never used meat. There are 28% who used it in the past, but are currently vegetarian, and almost half of Adventists are still eating things that are not fruit, grains, nuts, and vegetables. Shame on you! Look what you're doing to our statistics in your head. I want you to know something else. When you look at the vegetarian, comparing them with non-vegetarian, the vegetarian, of course, eat no beef, poultry, or pork. Did you know that 2% of non-vegetarian Seventh-day Adventists use pork? In my estimation, these are people who look at God's promises, who look at what God wants to do for them and say, God, thanks, but okay. I don't even want to be healthy. I want to eat according to my taste. Sweets, there's a difference. White bread, a difference. Coffee, one-third of non-vegetarian Adventists are still drinking coffee. I don't have time to talk about that, but you folks are asking for trouble if you're drinking coffee. And don't tell me it's Fanta. Don't want to hear anything about Fanta. There is not a non-caffeinated coffee bean grown in this whole world. Not one.
every coffee bean that has to be decaffeinated is done so chemically, and that version CCE5-4-ethanol a few years ago, they thought it caused cancer in mice, so they stopped using it. So if you've been drinking that for a long time, you're probably in trouble. Besides that, there are things in coffee called coffee oils that are very irritating to your stomach. That's why when folks come in with ulcers, you tell them stop drinking coffee. The good Lord never intended that to be anybody's food. You just have a glass of postum. Some folks can't stand it, but I'd rather have that bad taste than bad liver cancer. And of course, caffeine causes birth defects in people. It's bad news. Drink postum. Look at this breast cancer. And I'm going to give you several slides on breast cancer, women. It's epidemic in the United States compared with some of the other countries. If you take the average California white person as having 100% breast cancer, the non-vegetarian SBA comes in at 95% of his figure, but look at the SBA vegetarian. He has just a little bit over half the rate of breast cancer deaths from the California white, and it's significantly lower than the California SBA non-vegetarian. The lowest rates are held by the Japanese in California, Hawaii, and Japan. And the closer you get to Japan, the lower the rate is. The closer you get to the United States, the higher the rate is, because the Japanese over here eat just like Americans do. And their breast cancer rates are going up. If you take the people who eat meat and make them frequent meat eaters or seldom meat eaters, you find an even greater differentiation. Now, someone wants to know why in the world do frequent meat eaters have 118% of cancer compared with the average non-FDA Californian who has 100%. Well, the reason for that is that California is full of a lot of coots. And some of the coots don't eat meat. Which is a nice coot to be because lowers your breast cancer death rate. The FDA vegetarian still stands up exceedingly. Look at this. Weight has something to do with breast cancer because the overweight FDA is about the same as the California white, the person weighing an ideal weight or less is 70%, and of course the thin Orientals come in even less. And let this blow your mind for a while. Look at that. If you take the FDA non-vegetarian who drinks coffee, her chances of breast cancer go off the board. James says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper. God wants you to be healthy, friends. He doesn't like this. But it's up to us to cooperate with this program. We have a choice. We can either take care of habits, or we can wait till they get down to number six and take care of them when they become symptoms. What God says is, I want you to start eating right so you won't have to worry about number six. And statistics has been shown that if you are an Adventist, you will live longer. Adventist men live an average of 6 years longer than other people. And Adventist women, 3 years longer. The FDA woman is probably the envy of every civilized society on earth because her life expectancy is 80 years. We're far outstripping everyone else. When you follow what God says, it makes sense. Can we have a light, please?
Now, I want to read another starting text to you. Turn with me in the Bible, Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter. Deuteronomy 7. SDA vegetarians are in great shape. Deuteronomy 7, verse 12. Wherefore it shall come to pass, if ye hearken unto these judgments, and keep and do them, that the Lord thy God shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which he sware unto thy fathers. And he will love thee and bless thee and multiply thee. He will also bless the fruit of thy womb and the fruit of thy land, thy corn, thy wine, thine oil, the flock of thy sheep in the land which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee. Thou shalt be blessed above all people. There shall not be male or female barren among you or among your cattle, and the Lord will take away from thee all. The Lord never promised people that you would have 50% of the sickness of the Egyptians. He said, I'll take away from you all sickness. And the only way we will remain healthy in this world is if God takes those diseases away from us. He must remove them from us. But I want to read one more text for you. And it's a sad text. It's over the book of Philippians. Last text, and it's a saddie. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. The third chapter. Now, the men are giving out some papers. When you get the paper, just hang on to it. I'll tell you what to do with it. Philippians, the third chapter. I want the rest of you who aren't handing out papers to take a look at these texts with me. Have it. Just pass them out, but listen to me out of one ear while you're working with your hands. That's a sign of an intelligent person. Work with his hands and listen with his ears. Okay? Philippians, the third chapter, verse 17. Paul writing says, brethren, the church of Philippi, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the what? Enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is, come on, what's that word? Destruction. Whose God is their belly.
Did you know there are some people, and there are some Seventh-day Adventist Christians, that don't worship the Lord God who made heaven and earth, but who worship the Lord God belly? Did you know that? Whose God is their belly. They would much rather please this than please God.
And that's a shame. Because it means if that's our attitude, then we are bound not to have help. Now you're getting three pieces of paper. There is a yellow sheet. If you have any questions, I want you to mark it on the yellow sheet. And they will be collected. There are only three sheets per row, so if you've got a lot of questions, then tear it in half or something. It says suggestion or request on it. The second sheet you have is a nutrition quiz. Don't do anything with that yet. Take that nutrition quiz and hold it. The third sheet you have is a long 8.5 by 11, and it deals with some information on the front that talks about changes in food consumption for the U.S. diet. You can take that home and take a look at it, and I want you to notice how our diet is even now shifting. For example, look down there where it says, let's look at the first one, apples, fresh apples. From 1910 to 1970, the per capita consumption of apples dropped 70%. Now, is that a good or bad trend? That's bad. An apple a day keeps the doctor away, especially if you throw it very hard. And that, so that's a bad trend. We want to see more apples eaten because the Lord gave fresh fruit. Beef consumption has gone up 72%. I want you to look down and find food colors. You see that one about the middle of the page, certified dyes? Gone up 995%. Fourth from the bottom, canned tuna. Between 1926 and 1976, consumption of canned tuna increased 1,300%. We're always eating the wrong things and eating more and more of the wrong things. And God says, I want you to be healthy. Now, I want you to turn that sheet over. And we're going to spend a little time on this back for the next 2 or 3 minutes. I want to read those statements on vegetarianism because these folks are not Adventists except for the one at the bottom. Underneath that, I've left some space for your notes. And I'm going to tell you what to write down in your notes in just a second. Leonardo da Vinci said, I have from an early age abjured the use of meat. That means he didn't like to eat it. Henry Ward Beecher said, many a man might answer his own prayers by giving up butcher's meat. Arthritis, rheumatism, bad breath, heart disease, strokes, all of these things, stop eating meat. We can help answer our own prayers. Albert Schweitzer said, I am conscious that flesh eating is not in accordance with the finer feelings, and I abstain therefrom whenever I can. John Harvey Kellogg said, if you want to be a good singer, consider the birds. Those on berries and seeds sing sweetly while those meat eaters croak. Mahatma Gandhi said, I hold flesh food to be unsuited to our species. We err in copying the lower animal world if we are superior to it. Experience teaches that animal food is unsuited to those who would curb their passions. That's the truth. You've got little passionate kids at home or passionate husband or wife. Cut down on the meat and see what happens. Dr. Jean Mayer, who is a nutritionist, said vegetarianism has three things going for it all at once: economics, health, and compassion. And Ellen White said, grains, fruits, nuts, and vegetables constitute the diet chosen for us by our Creator. These foods, prepared in as simple and natural manner as possible, are the most helpful and nourishing. They impart a strength of power of endurance, a vigor of intellect that are not afforded by a more complex and stimulating diet, and that's taken from Genesis 1:28 and 29. Now, notes. Here's how you become a vegetarian. I want to tell you how to become a vegetarian easy. So those of you who are vegetarians, sit back and you can just think now. And thank God for your good health. Those of you who are not vegetarians, you should write this down. Seriously, write it down. I'm not going to ask you to stand and tell me that you're not going to eat meat anymore. That's between you and God. But I want you to know how to become one. Many times people say, why don't you tell us how to do it easily? Here's the best way to become a vegetarian. Number one, learn how to cook. And I say that seriously. Have you ever been to a place where they serve lots of meat and you ever notice what kind of shape the vegetables are in? The pears laying over here, anemic. The green beans, you pick them up and they sort of sag like they have no backbone at all. And they have a putrid color and taste to it. You got to chew them 15 times to get them down because they're all soft and so forth. Learn how to cook. A good vegetarian must know how to cook. And if you can't cook, don't become a vegetarian right away. Go to one of the sisters in the church who has a reputation for cooking well and say to her, please teach me how to cook. And I'm serious in that. Don't try to become a vegetarian if you can't cook. Learn how to cook first. Did you hear what I said? Okay, it's true. Number two, pray and prepare earnestly. Pray and prepare. Say, Lord, I have heard some things tonight, and I read some things in your word, and I am determined now that I'm going to follow you because I want the very best for me like you want for me. When you speak to me, I want to be able to hear. I don't want animal fats clogging my brain. I want to be able to follow the dictates of the Bible. I want to live with you forever. I yield myself to you so you can live in my heart. Therefore, help me to become a vegetarian. Don't try it without that. Because Satan is convinced that you're not going to become one. You're going to get in your car one of these days after having been a vegetarian for 1 week. You're going to be driving down the street. And as you get to Burger King or Kentucky Fried Chicken, you're going to find a power taking hold of that steering wheel that you never thought was in the car. And it's going to try to turn that wheel to the right, just like that. And you'll have to pray, Lord, help me to keep going straight. Because you don't want the worst way to turn it. And Satan's going to be behind that power. He's going to say to you, get a leg, get a leg. And you're going to want to go in there and get a leg. It is only through the keeping power of Christ, and folks, I have wrestled with this myself. I know what I'm talking about. It's only through the keeping power of Christ you'll ever do it. Don't ignore number two. Number three is energize the will. If any of you have a little book called Counsels, Advice, and Foods, that's page 292 and 426. That's what these football players would say is get psyched up. Except we don't sit around and meditate and get psyched up. We get psyched up by reading. We energize the will. That means bringing your mind into contact with God. You see, praying and preparing is not enough. I've got to energize the will. Put this in my head. Number four, stop all condiments. A condiment is anything that tastes hot when it should be tasting cold. Like pepper. Black pepper, red pepper, green pepper, except for bell pepper, purple pepper, whatever kind of pepper you've got, stop it. Lighten up on the salt. Stop the cloves. Stop the cinnamon. Clean out your system and get used to tasting natural. We have a five-day plan once. And I told the folks to stop using salt and pepper. Next day, when the folks came back, I said, did anybody stop using pepper? Somebody raised their hand. Have you stopped smoking? They raised their hand. How many folks who have stopped smoking have stopped using pepper? It's over. They raised their hand. I said, how many of you ate some eggs yesterday? Some hands went up. How many of you tasted the eggs? Some hands went up. How the eggs taste? Yeah, said one lady. She wouldn't know a good egg if it fell on her head. She put so much pepper and stuff on her eggs, she knew how they tasted. You'd be surprised what sweet potatoes taste like. Even grits. You don't put pepper on them. Number five, decrease the use of sugar and fats. Decrease the use of sugar and fats. What we're doing now is educating your tongue. Number one is learn how to cook. Two is pray and prepare earnestly. Three is energize the will. Get into the Bible. Four is stop all your condiments. Five is decrease the use of sugar and fats. And number six is increase your food and your rest. When you're becoming a vegetarian, you've got to sleep more because you're going to feel tired. Mark it down. I will feel tired. You will. And say, see, all your energy is draining out your feet. You've got to have some hamburger to get your strength back up. And believe me, you mean for the first few days, you'll be listening for that. And when he says, you're going to say, I knew it all along. Don't fall for that. Don't you believe it for a minute. Increase your fluids in the rest. You're going to need it because you're combating not just taste, you're combating Satan, friend.
Satan loves to have that head so full of fat that God can't talk to you. Loves it. Loves it.
Number 7. Handle your meat this way. Increase the frequency of vegetarian meals. I would start off by having one vegetarian meal a week. I do that for 2 or 3 weeks. Then I have 2. Then I have 3. See what I'm saying? It's going to take you a while, so start increasing the vegetarian meals. And decrease the meat you're eating by working from the red meats to the fowl to the fish. So if you say, tomorrow I think I'm going to start being a vegetarian, I'm going to plan 1 or 2 vegetarian meals this week. And you do that. You get used to your taste. You've cooked. You've learned how to cook. You've prayed. You've brought your mind to conjunction with God. You've stopped the condiments. You've decreased the fats. You've got lots of rest. And you're drinking well. And you say, now I'm ready to go. You have a good vegetarian meal, but the next time you eat meat, you don't have steak. You go to de-skinned chicken. Take the skin off, because that's what the fat is. Or you go to turkey. And you may use that for 2 or 3 weeks. And then you drop that. As you increase the frequency of your vegetarian meals, you drop the fowl and you go to fish. So after 2 or 3 months, you're eating practically every meal is vegetarian, and when you are eating, you're eating a little bit of fish. And so by the end of 6 months, you become a vegetarian. Now, some of you are going to be able to go out here and say, I'm going to clean out my refrigerator. That's it. Power to you. There are some of you who aren't going to be able to do that. And as you read the Spirit of Prophecy, you will find Sister White saying time and again, educate, educate, educate. Teach people to live without. Wean them away from. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about weaning you away from. And it will work. Number 8, increase your intake of fruits, legumes, and vegetables. Peaches, pears, plums, watermelon, cantaloupe, oranges. Whatever you get your hand on, stuff it down. It will help cleanse your system and change your taste. Number 9, emphasize variety in foods and feeding all your senses. Listen, folks, there is nothing worse than going to someone's house for a meal and the person has mashed potatoes and limp overcooked squash and limp overcooked beans. The potatoes are a dull white. The squash is a pale yellow, and the greens are a putrid green-brown. And you sit there and try to eat that stuff? No wonder your folks don't become vegetarian. God has put a tremendous variety of foods in your hands. Take the nice green artichoke on the plate. Put a beautiful salad there with red radishes and red tomatoes and purple onions. And green lettuce, and just a little dab of mayonnaise or something like that on top of it, see? Have a couple of ears of nice corn, and God must have a sense of humor. All those nice little things there, you chew them, they pop in your mouth, see? Go that around. So you have the corn there and the salad, and then there's the artichoke, and you can have your white baked potato there if you like, and then some deep purple beef. Yum, yum. That's good. You see, you feed the eyes as well as the palate, and that's important, being a good vegetarian. A good vegetarian should enjoy his meals. Because he knows his eyes, his ears, his taste buds, his nose, everybody's going to have a banquet. Because he's enjoying what God has put there. And last of all, use meat substitutes judiciously. Don't use meat substitutes all the time. They contain a lot of sodium for one thing. Besides that, I don't find anywhere in Genesis 1:28 where it says veggie burger. You can put that in if you like, and there's nothing wrong with it. But don't feel like you've got to eat that stuff just because you're a vegetarian. You can do very well without it. Now, that's 2/3 of the program. We're ready to answer questions. If you have any questions, please hold them up, and we'll have the ushers pick them up and bring them up front. And if you don't have any questions, I'll cry because I've left time for it at the end. I can't conceive of anybody going through this without having some kind of a challenge. If you don't have a piece of paper, raise your hand. We'll get a piece of paper to you. There's a question in the back over on the right-hand side. Oh, I know what you can do. Excuse me, I forgot. While the questions are coming up, do your quiz. We'll go with the answers. Take that little short piece of paper out and do the quiz. On this quiz, if you want to, you can cheat. Look on somebody's paper beside you if you can't get all the answers. You've got to do the quiz, folks. You've got to do the quiz. Take that time now while we're collecting questions. As you have questions, please raise your hand. Raise your hand with the question. There's another one in the back. Will I repeat? I sure will. Will I repeat those 9 steps? Here they are. Number 1, learn how to cook. Number 2, pray and prepare earnestly. Number 3 is energize the will. 4 is stop all condiments. 5 is decrease the use of sugar and fats. 6 is increase your fluids and rest. 7 is handle meat by increasing the frequency of vegetarian meals and working from red meat to fowl to fish and nothing in that order. 8 is increase the intake of fruits, legumes, and vegetables. 9 is emphasize variety in your foods and make sure you feed all your senses, eyes, ears, nose, mouth, taste, touch. 10 is use meat substitutes judiciously and sparingly. And if you have a heart condition, always check with your doctor before you use any meat substitutes or if you have high blood pressure, because many of them tend to be very high in sodium. You don't want to make things worse. All right? I want you to fill out the answer sheet, if you will, please, the quiz. We're going to cover that the last 5 minutes while we're collecting questions. I hope the quiz is not too tough. And if it is, you've got a problem. Okay, we'll start answering these questions. And what I'm going to do with the questions, folks, is I'll try to give you some rather quick answers to these things, okay? If there are any answers I've given that are not satisfactory, see me afterwards, because I don't want to hold the folks who have to get home tonight. We'll be done by 9, easy. So I'll give quick answers. If it's not full enough for you, attack me afterwards. I'll stay here until 12 o'clock if they'll leave the lights on and talk with you about these things. Question number 1, and Dr. Smith is going to screen these for us just to make sure we're answering the right ones. We don't duplicate things. What about vitamin pills? There's nothing wrong with vitamin pills, but you don't need them if you're eating right. If you're eating a good variety of foods, you do not need vitamins. The only time you should eat vitamins if you're eating a wide variety of foods is if you happen to have stock in the company that sells the vitamins. Then it makes sense. Otherwise, you can forget about it. Don't buy this stuff that people tell you about the fact the earth is depleted and chemical fertilizers are destroying all the vitamins. Don't fall for that stuff. There's something peculiar about human beings. Once we know that something exists, we've got to make sure we've got enough of it. And folks did very well without knowing that vitamins were ever around. Once somebody discovered them, we figured we better take a few extra ones. It's not sound nutrition. Is it wrong to use oil? No. Probably the genesis of this, because some folks are saying it's not good to use any kind of free oils. I was telling some of the folks today, I've had 2 patients now come in who were put on no oil diet, and they both developed problems with their blood chemistries. I think that God put oil in food for a purpose. What do you say when people say Jesus ate fish? When people say Jesus ate fish, I say he sure did. There are a lot of things in the Bible that are not sin and that are not wrong, that it is still not advisable to do, especially under our circumstances. One of the main reasons for not eating the flesh of animals is because of their diseased condition. And if you talk with anybody who does any kind of fishing, especially fishing in the oceans or fishing where there's pollution, they'll tell you that fish have problems. And just because Christ ate fish 1900 years ago out of the Sea of Galilee, and some of it he created himself with his own miracles, does not give me the right nowadays, in terms of what I know about the environment, in terms of what I know about pollution, in terms of what I know about the degeneracy of our race, to go out and eat fish from the polluted waters that exist in 1980. Now, if you choose to eat fish, it does not mean you're sinning. If you choose to eat steak, it does not mean you're sinning. I remember once a story of a man who was asked, who needed a chauffeur for his car. His other chauffeur had just quit, and he put an ad in the paper, chauffeur wanted. And so one guy came, and he offered himself. He said, I'm a good chauffeur. He said, I'm one of the best drivers around. That fellow said, oh, is that so? He said, yeah. This guy said, I can go anywhere without having any accident. And so the fellow said, let's go out for a demonstration ride. So he sat in the back, the chauffeur sat in the front, and they had a very steep curve around a cliff that they had to make. And the chauffeur got in, and he drove the car, and he went around the curve, and he came 6 inches from the edge of that cliff. Stopped the car, got out and said, well, and the owner said, hey, that's pretty good. That's not bad, 6 inches.
And he said, I didn't go off. Took the curve at 6 miles an hour.
That's awesome. That's really all right.
He said, I'll call you and let you know. Another fellow answered the ad, and this fellow said, I'm an excellent driver. I can do almost anything in the car. So he said, let's get in the truck. So he sat in the back, and so forth, got in the front. They went around the curb, and he got 2 inches from the edge. The wheel just sort of kicked the stone over. And the guy stopped the car and got in and said, see there?
Good guy's good.
Huh, how about that?
I said, hey, that's impressive, all right.
So they came. The third guy came who had applied for the job, and the man got in the back seat, the chauffeur got in the front, and he came to the curb, and he slowed down 20 miles an hour, got all the way to the left-hand side of the car of the road, 15 feet between him and the outside. And he itched around the curb. When he stopped and got out, the fellow said, you're hired. You get the point? Some folks say, how little can I do and still get to heaven? I say, Lord, lay it on me. You have my best good at heart. You love me. You want me to live forever. You want my help above all things. What do you want? I want what you want. And if the Lord says to me, go jump off the building, I'll jump and say, catch me when I land. Now, that's the way I feel about fish. Why did God permit meat after the flood if it wasn't healthy? He permitted meat, and you'll find this in the spirit of prophecy, to shorten man's lives. People were so bad that he didn't want them to live forever. And you know something? I think as God looks at the world today, he figures that was a pretty good decision. Had a little boy once in the office with his mother. And I wanted to examine the kid, and I walked in the room, and his mother was holding him like this, and he was pounding away on her chest like this, his both hands, about 5 years old. Both wrists, tying and tearing on, and the mother was standing with her sort of a sickish smile. I walked in, and I said, what do you think that kid did that to you for? Well, I said, do you realize that exactly the way he's treating you is the way he's going to treat his wife? She said, well, he'll probably get somebody as bad as he is. And the tragedy is he probably will. And as God looks at the way things are going in this world today, with the way we're raising our children and the kinds of crime we have going on, I'm sure he thinks it was a good idea to shorten man's lifespan. Why does fish eating give people a body odor? Through the kidneys? I don't know. I had not really noticed that people who eat fish have a body odor, but I suppose it's possible. That would probably work through the sweat glands, not the kidneys. That depends on what kind of fish they eat, too. What about the use of free fats and oils? How much should we cut down on them? This question I consider the same as the first. I don't think anybody can ever give you a formula on what you should or shouldn't eat, even in the way of free oils. I think some people react very well to having all free oils eliminated from their diet. I think others react very poorly. And my advice to you would be experiment. Have your cholesterol, your triglycerides checked, see how you sleep, see how your breath smells, then go off of all oils and check those parameters again. And ask the doctor, am I getting better or worse? Don't let anybody legislate a diet for you, because your body's different. Why the mayonnaise? And aren't vegetarian meat substitutes, fake foods, very hard to digest? No, they're not hard to digest. Some of the things that are in the foods may be hard to digest. I'm talking now about some of the preservatives. And they are especially high in sodium and salt. But mayonnaise, of course, has some egg and other oils. Vegetarian meat substitutes are not hard to digest. In fact, tests on digestion with regard to the vegetarian foods have shown them very, very digestible, about 98%. Now, again, don't forget that you as an individual may have a personal idiosyncrasy. And if you find that eating cucumbers, I'll pick on that one because I hate them. If you find eating cucumbers makes you belch and make your breath foul, don't eat them. I don't eat them because I don't like them. But there's nowhere in here that says you've got to eat cucumbers. The Lord made squash, and I can eat that. That's the nice thing about God. He's given us a large variety. What do you do if fruits make you sick? If they make you sick, don't eat them. But I would venture to say there are some fruits that you can eat that will not make you sick. There are thousands of kinds of foods and many different kinds of fruits. So experiment with something else. But if it makes you sick, don't eat it. God does not wish for you to be sick. Mrs. White says, the more fresh fruit we eat, the greater the blessing will be. Can this be interpreted as a blessing on fruitarianism? No. Fruitarianism is a weird, bad fad. The Lord said you eat fruits, grains, and nuts, and you eat all three of them. And it's only the nuts who don't eat the nuts. Except you can't stand nuts, of course. And that makes it different. But you need all of those things.
Now, let me, I'm going to tell them right here. One of the big things that comes about vegetarians is people say, how do you get your vitamin B12? You heard that, have you? Oh. Where do you get vitamin B12?
There it comes.
Vitamin B12 is found naturally in the lower forms of life.
And we're not talking about your kids or your husband. We're talking about other kinds of things.
I had to throw that in. The lower forms of life. For example, the vitamins that you find in oranges, for example, vitamin C, it was not made by the orange for you. God put it there, but it's made by the orange for the orange. The vitamins are made by the organism for its own use. Now, the higher forms of life, man and animals, don't make vitamin B12. But the lower forms of life, like certain kinds of bacteria, do make vitamin B12. So if we get vitamin B12, we have to get it from the lower forms of life. Now, the lower forms of life can be found in a cow that goes along mooing and lapping up grass and dirt and picking up bacteria, and the vitamin B12 goes into the milk. Or you can cut the cow apart and slap it on a burger bun, and you can eat that and get your vitamin B12. Or you can eat it from the hen's egg as she goes around picking up from the barnyard. So you can pick up your vitamin B12 secondhand like that. There are other places in which vitamin B12 is made. Vitamin B12 is made on dirty teeth. You got germs in your mouth. The mouth is dirty, by the way. Just remember that. Next time you kiss your wife, dirty mouth. All through here. The teeth have germs on them. These germs will make vitamin B12. The problem is, they probably don't make enough. The other place where vitamin B12 is made is in the intestinal tract. And the vitamin B12 in the intestinal tract is in the wrong place because the vitamin B12 has to go through the stomach before the body can absorb it. So when it's made down here, it's too low. So that doesn't count. The only thing you're left with is not brushing your teeth for a few months to accumulate vitamin B12. But that's not socially acceptable. I think, now we're out of the realm of inspiration, we're out of the realm of fact. We're now in the realm of conjecture, okay? I think that the reason why God told Adam and Eve to eat vegetables was as they pulled the carrot out of the ground and then wiped it under their armpit, you see? And then chomped down it, the little bit of dirt clinging to the carrot had B12 in it. Same thing is true of the potato. Now let me tell you this. What am I saying? I think that when a person takes their carrots home and washes them off, that's all right. There's still going to be a little bit of B12 hanging on the carrot. But don't take that thing that you peel potatoes with and scrape off all the outside of the carrot. You're getting rid of the vitamin B12. See? All you've got left is vitamin A. Now, that's just what I think. That's not inspirational, okay? It's not fact. That's my own thought about it. But I think that God intended for men to eat vegetables without sterilizing them. One last point. It has not been shown conclusively that people who are total vegetarians will die of what's called pernicious anemia. There have been studies shown on vegetarians who ate no meat products and no milk and no eggs who still had good levels of vitamin B12. We don't even know what level you have before you're in trouble. And if there are some people out there who are not following God's word, but who because of love of animals are not eating animal products, and they're still maintaining good vitamin B12 levels, I don't think it's at all out of place for me to pray to God and say, Lord, I'm going to do what you want. Please take care of the vitamin B12. I think you can do it. What about vitamin B15? There is no such thing. There's a compound called pangamic acid made by the Krebs boys, and they call it vitamin B15 because they know if they call it vitamin B15, a lot of folks will buy it. Because everybody likes vitamins. But pangamic acid is I'm trying to think of a strong enough word to use for that. It is a farce. If you've been sucked down the tube into believing that vitamin B12 is a vitamin, you're in bad shape. You're missing it. A vitamin is a substance which is needed by the body, and if the body does not have it, the body is deformed in its growth and or does not develop properly. Vitamin B12 is something these boys put together, and these are fellows also, by the way, who make up Laetril. These fellows put this together and began selling it called pangamic acid because they figured it would make some folks feel better. Oh, feeling better. I will sometimes find people who say, I use lots of vitamin C and lots of vitamin E and lots of vitamin D because it makes me feel better. Don't do it for that reason. Because that's the very same reason kids come to me and say, I use marijuana because it makes me feel better. What's the difference between mom and dad who are popping pills called vitamins to feel better and the kid who's puffing on a joint to feel better? And don't tell me vitamins are food. Well, they're not. They are chemicals which act as catalysts. And if all you're taking them for is to feel better, you might as well be smoking marijuana philosophically. So these fellows figure vitamin B15 folks against feeling better than the bite. And they were right. You don't have any business buying that stuff. Save your money and put it in Sabbath school or in an evangelism offering.
What about non-fat milk, low-fat milk, carrier of disease, its nutritional value?
Non-fat milk, low-fat milk, carriers of disease. Yes, milk does.
Soy milk.
And soy milk. Okay. Milk, of course, as it comes from the cow, may have disease. That's why the Spirit of Prophecy and I both agree that it should be pasteurized. See? There is no difference in nutrition between full milk, 2% or low-fat milk, and non-fat milk. Milk is drunk for three purposes. Protein, calcium, and riboflavin. These are found in the skim part of the milk. When you take the fat off, you're just taking off fat. You don't need to have that. So if a person can stand the taste and it revolves completely around the tongue, you're better off eating skim milk. Soy milk is fine if you can stand it, and much soy milk is fortified with vitamin B12, which is another way of getting it rather than using carrots or whatever. Eggs are high many times in a germ called salmonella. And salmonella is a bad actor when it gets inside the intestinal tract. If you've ever had salmonellosis, you know the cramps and the diarrhea that it causes. So if one is going to use eggs, they should preferably be from chickens as healthy as possible and should be well cooked. And don't eat them raw. What about honey? Honey's all right. Honey is a regurgitated product of bee pollen gathering. It comes from nectar, the bee eats it, and then the bee upsets it again, and people call it honey. I'm really all for honey, contrary to what you may think. But don't think that honey is any better than sugar. The reason why honey is touted by people who know is the fact that honey has a higher satiety value for sweetness. That is to say, a teaspoonful of honey will taste sweeter than a teaspoonful of sugar, therefore a person eats less honey. But it's still sugar, just like sugar is. Well, it's not sucrose, it's two of the lower forms of sugar, but it is the same thing in the body as sucrose, except you tend to eat less. And it has a few trace minerals in it also. How dangerous is saccharin compared to tobacco and length of use to the production of cancer? Saccharin is not as bad as tobacco from the standpoint of cancer production. It is felt that saccharin is bad, and you know that is based upon a couple of studies where they gave mice about 5,000 times the dose that they would give a human being, and they developed liver cancer. There are some people that feel that this kind of data is not really worthwhile following because the doses were too high. You can take your pick if you want to use it or not. Again, if you use saccharin, you're conceding the taste. Not bad, but you know what you're getting into. What about the use of cocoa or chocolate? Cocoa or chocolate both come from the cola nut, and they contain caffeine. Chocolate contains about 20 milligrams of caffeine in about a 1-ounce bar. Coffee contains about 100 to 150 milligrams in one small coffee cup, and tea about 70 milligrams. So you can take it from there. How long does it take for a vegetarian diet to correct the difficulty caused by the wrong diet? There are two answers to that. One, it may take several years. But the second answer is, if you lay your Bible on Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter, verses 12 to 15, and say, Lord, I am now following away, please take away these diseases, you can't tell what's after happen.
I have several questions on overeating and weight control. Maybe you could just touch on that in general.
If you are trying to lose weight, how do you lose weight without eating meat? Very easy. Don't eat so much starch, fat, and carbohydrates. Now, let me tell you something about becoming a vegetarian. There are two things you have to watch out for. One of them is increasing your starch intake very high. The other is increasing your fat. Don't forget that if they give you a teaspoonful of fat and a teaspoonful of carbohydrate, you will get for that teaspoonful twice as many calories as the fat teaspoonful. So when you decide to become a vegetarian and you lay on the macaroni and cheese, which is high in fat, you're asking for more calories. Instead of using macaroni and cheese, try spinach. What'd you say? Try kale or collards or mustard greens. Try celery. Try lettuce. Try tomatoes. Try onions. Try things that have a lot of bulk to them but very little in the way of calories. And it's very easy to lose weight. Most people who gain weight claim to have problems with their glands. The only glands they have problems with are the salivary glands. They just overwork them. So cut down on these glands and you'll be all right. Now, I made a little bit of light of that. If you have a real serious weight problem, see me afterwards, and we can work out something pretty specific for you, I think. Is it all right to take calcium for arthritis? If so, how many? I don't think it's all right to take calcium for arthritis, so you shouldn't take any. The best thing to do if you think your calcium is low is to check with your doctor and see what the calcium level in your blood is. And if it's low, he'll tell you how many calcium pills to take. Don't go around taking stuff that people will refine because you think you need it. I had a lady come in the office one time and was complaining of leg cramps, terrible. I said, what are you using? She said, I'm using calcium to get rid of joint pains. I said, well, how much are you taking? She told me, I said, stop the calcium. She stopped the calcium and the leg cramps went away. That's the problem with taking these things. You don't know what's causing what after a while. How do SDA health statistics compare to Mormons? About the same. Why did I have breast cancer when I never tasted tea or coffee? I can understand how a person can put on a piece of a dead animal in his mouth. Okay, that's a little commercial there. Please do not read my name from the book. Okay, that's fine. Breast cancer is not all caused by the things you saw up here. For example, if you are a woman and there's breast cancer in your family, your chances of getting it are very good. The closer the woman who has it is to you, the better your chances are of getting it. So there are a lot of genetic factors that have to do with breast cancer causation. We're going to stop right now, and I'll tell you what I'm going to do. The questions we have here, we'll go through them tonight, and I'll answer some more tomorrow morning, but I want to answer the quiz, so we'll get you out by 9. Is that all right? DC thinks I should answer. Dr. Neal, do you eat the way you preach? That's a pretty low blow. I thought you were supposed to screen these questions. Yes. In general, I'll tell you this much. There are times when I've fallen down. But I keep coming back to the... And I keep trying. I'll tell you this much. I'm better now than I was 5 years ago. And if you hang with me and we work on it together, we'll both see each other in the kingdom in good shape. In general, yes. I'm still trying. There are some areas where I tend to fall down. I'm tempted like everyone else. We'll get on to the next question here. Do you have your lectures taped? If so, how can I buy your tapes? Okay, Brother Newhart is taping these tonight. And he has some others that I've given to. Let's answer the quiz so we can get out of here. I promise you by 9. What 3 components became part of the human diet after the flood? Do you have the answer to that? 3 things. What is that? Okay, meat. Okay, meat, fowl, and fish. But I'm thinking about something else. I'm thinking about blood. Blood, cholesterol, and saturated fats. Now, there are some saturated fats in foods like coconut, but in Maine, most of your saturated fat comes about through animal products. Meat, or that is blood, cholesterol, which is not found in any vegetable product, and saturated fat. And that's part of the reason for what we saw on the board there. God has prohibited the use of flesh in the diet because he, one, hates us. True or false? You know, some people act like that.
God doesn't want me to have anything good anymore.
God doesn't hate you. Number 2, he doesn't want us to taste good things. True or false? Come on, folks. True or false? Number 3, he wants the best for us. Ha! That's it. Number 3, in talking about vitamins, it is best to remember if a little is good, more is better. False. Only small amounts are needed. True. All the vitamins are deficient in commercially grown foods. False. Vitamins are used up in chemical reactions. False. Vitamins are catalysts. They're little chemicals that make things go in the body, but they're not used up. That's why you only need a very little bit. So don't come to me after and say, I'm using 600 units of vitamin E a day. Let me tell you a quick story. It's going to take about 2 minutes after 9 to get out of here. I'll tell you the story. I was talking to a lady once who was in the hospital. She had started taking vitamin E. She said, Dr. Neal, you will not believe this. I had the most miraculous thing happen to me. I was in the hospital. I had blood clots in my legs, and I was almost on the verge of dying. And my doctor came along, and he gave me huge amounts of vitamin E. He said, this is an antioxidant, and we think it will keep your blood thin so it will not clot. He said, I was almost ready to go out, and he started giving me vitamin E, and we had the church have special prayer, and I recovered. And now I thank the Lord for vitamin E, and I take it every day, because it brought me through.
Did you hear what I said?
She completely went over the church praying for her. All the glory to vitamin E.
Enough said about vitamins.
Which of the following is true? We live to eat.
It doesn't matter what you eat. Taste is most important.
We eat to live.
True.
You've been a good class. I tell you, I've enjoyed teaching you tonight. We're going to have another session tomorrow morning at 9:30.
Elder, do you want to offer the benediction for us?
Well, I won't have the benediction, but I do want to make an announcement or two. First of all, I think I want to get this set of tapes of the new heart just so I can turn down on slower speed to find out what he said here today.
Father, today has truly been a blessed day. We remember our Sabbath school lesson, our evangelism session, baptism period, and the service this evening that gives us an example of the type of way that we should eat to make our bodies in the way that Thou has told us that they should be. We ask now that Thou be with those of us who are be traveling on the road this evening, that each one of us will have a safe trip home. And we pray for Thy continued presence tomorrow as this weekend camp meeting comes to a close. In Jesus' precious name we pray.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistries.org. There you would discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.